You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Friday edition. I hope everyone's had a good end to their week as we head toward week 14 of the NFL season and the 49ers facing the Washington football team in Arizona Sunday. We've got the latest injury report, some audio about the game from coaches and players, and my keys to victory against Washington in week 14. This football season has been extremely different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. At BD Peacock on Twitter, Locked On 49ers at Gmail. You can find this podcast and all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network everywhere that you find podcasts, including the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show, which is a daily podcast that covers the entire league. Myself, along with former NFL scout and ESPN scribe, currently Pro Football Network writer, and he's all over the place, Matt Williamson, my co-host there daily. We'll have the whole weekend broken down Monday on that show. We'll have everything that happens in this 49ers-Washington game right here Monday, and you can hit me at that Twitter location at BD Peacock if you want to get involved in Tuesday's mailbag episode. And you don't have to wait until I call out for some questions at some point Monday. If something hits you during the game, hit me up at BD Peacock, and we'll get talking about it next week. But let's talk about this week and the upcoming game right now. The return of Alex Smith, or the somewhat return of Alex Smith. He's returning to the western half of the United States. In Arizona is where this game's going to be played, and not many people are around that were around when Alex Smith played. I think the last player that would have crossed paths with Alex Smith in the 49ers locker room was Joe Staley, who retired this offseason. So everything is more deep into the front office and ownership now. And of course, the fans who will not be in the stadium that still have a connection to Alex Smith, the former 49er. More on Alex Smith later, how he's playing right now, his comeback in 2020. I want to start with the injury report, though, for Sunday, and things are getting better for the 49ers. They still will be without a couple of players, some key reserves. Tom Compton, offensive lineman, dealing with a concussion. He didn't practice all week. He is listed as out now for Sunday. And here's one that popped up during the week that we didn't expect. It's not injury related, but defensive lineman Kevin Givens, who's played really well lately. He had a great game last week for the 49ers defensive line and has played some important snaps inside at D tackle for the Niners. He didn't practice all week because he was with his wife giving birth to a baby daughter. And because of concussion protocols, it takes too long for him to get back and get through those protocols. So he won't even be able to play Sunday, even though he is healthy. So Kevin Givens out. That one might hurt the 49ers D line. DJ Jones, ankle injury, is doubtful to play in this one. He did not practice all week, so I would not expect he's able to play. Same with Emmanuel Moseley. Those darn hamstrings, it's lingering for him. And he was questionable last week, now doubtful to play this week leading up to Sunday, and did not practice all week. Good news is the 49ers will have Deebo Samuel back. He was limited early in the week, but fully participated in practice today. He'll be out there Sunday. And K'Wan Williams, slowly coming back from his ankle injury, his high ankle sprain, limited in practice all week. There's a chance he plays. He is listed as questionable. Oh, yeah, and center Ronis Grasu, knee injury. He didn't practice Friday. He is also listed as out for Sunday. But the big one would be that Deebo Samuel is playing and that K'Wan Williams could potentially play, especially with Moseley not being able to play. The 49ers really missing that nickel corner position last week. It'll be a huge boost for their defense if they are able to get K'Wan Williams back Sunday. For Washington, a pretty clean injury report. They will be without their rookie running back, who's becoming a star in the making, Antonio Gibson, who's really fast and was more of a hybrid wide receiver running back in college. They made him a full-time running back. He's really good. Catching the ball out of the backfield has been fantastic for those fantasy football owners that snagged him late in fantasy drafts this year. Dealing with turf toe, not practicing all week, and he is officially listed as out for Sunday. Terry McLaurin, who is really the weapon the 49ers have to look out for in this game and the most dynamic player on that offense for Washington, second-year wide receiver, ankle injury, was limited early in the week, but fully participated in practice Thursday and Friday, and he's good to go Sunday against the Niners. Got a lot of audio, won't get to all of it today, but we heard from Kyle Shanahan and defensive coordinator Robert Saleh, defensive back Jason Verrett, and defensive lineman Eric Armstead. I want to start there with Armstead, who was nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. He will represent the 49ers, and it's award season. Verrett, who I mentioned, comeback player of the year candidate as well that we'll get into, but Armstead has done a ton of work in the community, and I don't really talk about that much on the show. I really focus so much on football, and some of the things get lost, like what Eric Armstead has done with his nonprofit in the Sacramento area where he came up, the 916 charity Armstead Academic Project, trying to change the trajectory for youths, and just a fantastic cause. And you know, usually Eric Armstead, when he does take the podium, and he hasn't been on the podium that much this year, not a ton of highlight performances from Armstead so far in 2020. And he would talk about how disappointing the season has been so far for multiple reasons. But he usually starts each press conference when he is at the podium with a statement on causes he believes in. And I think it's really cool. And I love seeing some of these players use their platform and try to make positive change. So it's really cool that Eric Armstead does that. I respect him a lot for it. And Armstead was asked how he felt being nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
It's amazing. It's real humbling and honoring. To know, to be a part of that group, and, you know, to even be a finalist. And, you know, I feel really great about it, because you don't always sit back and, you know, I'm a person that just does. And I don't really sit back and think about really what I have done or what I have accomplished. I just try to find ways to do more. And, you know, when you're honored in that way, and being a nominee is great for me, and it puts things in perspective for me. And I get, you know, a small chance to, you know, be honored and humbled, and, you know, think about some of the things that I've done in the past, just kind of how my brain works. I'm always thinking about what I can do more and how I can be better. So in that moment, it's really cool to, you know, kind of sit back and, you know, think about some of the things I've done, and some of the, you know, people I've helped, and the people who have helped me along the way accomplish those things and help others.
Armstead continuing to do big things off the field. On the field, it's been an up and down season. He talks about the disappointing 2020 so far. Next, we'll hear from coaches, players, and the keys to victory for the 49ers to beat Washington in Week 14. Eric Armstead's sack numbers have taken a big drop in 2020, and obviously a lot of that is losing two massive pieces on the defensive line. DeForest Buckner traded to Indy, and torn ACL for Nick Bosa. He has lost the entire season, so a lot more attention being paid by offenses to Eric Armstead. Doesn't have as many favorable matchups and one-on-ones, and also hasn't had an opportunity to play inside as much as I think he should be playing, and playing a lot pure defensive end, which I think on early downs, that's great. On third downs and pass rush situations, really want to see Eric Armstead on the interior, getting after quarterbacks there. And it was a great formula for the 49ers last year. Hopefully in 2021, they can get back to that. But here's Armstead on his production in 2020 so far.
Obviously, with our record and where we're at, is, you know, we wanted to be better and win more games. And personally, you know, I wanted to be, you know, more productive and make more plays and help my team in more ways. And, you know, you just try to find ways each week to be better and continue to work on your game and work on as a team to become a better team week in and week out. And that's the same approach I take as a player, is to, you know, I'm my biggest critic. I'm hardest on myself more than anyone. And, you know, I want to be better at what I do each week too. So that's the approach you take, and, you know, just find ways to get better and as a team and as a player individually.
One player that's really been fantastic individually this year and is in the comeback player of the year conversation is cornerback Jason Verrett, and he was asked about that potential award for him and if he's followed another candidate for the same award, Alex Smith, during his comeback this year.
Yeah, I've seen, I think it's called the Project 11, I believe. I saw it on that ESPN show, man. It was a great story. You know, this guy that I used to go against a lot in the AFC West when I was with the Chargers. I have a ton of respect for him. Hopefully, you know, once we play them, man, I can talk to him after, try to see if we can get a jersey swap or something. I have a lot of respect for him. And, you know, if he's the guy that wins that comeback player of the year, man, I hats off and nothing but respect for him.
Yeah, it's cool to see all these guys respect each other and give each other the love they deserve, even though they're opponents this week. But and really, as cool as it's been to see what Jason Verrett's done this year and the comeback he's made and the kind of player he still is after having, you know, so many injuries and taking so much time off. I mean, this is Alex Smith's award, and he's already got that in the bag just by coming back and playing. And now that he's starting games and has the Washington team in a position to potentially win the division, even though their record isn't that great. But it's fantastic to see what these guys are doing. But yeah, Alex Smith definitely taking home that award this year, which is, you know, which takes nothing away from the season that Jason Verrett has had for the 49ers. Verrett is one of the many free agents upcoming for the 49ers in 2021. Talked about Kerry Hyder a lot earlier in the week with what he's done this year, and maybe even pricing himself out of the 49ers, earning, instead of backup salary, earning starter salary at a premium position at defensive end. And the same could be said for Jason Verrett. There might be some teams lining up to get that Verrett now that they saw a few years back that they loved. I'm sure every team loved what they saw from Jason Verrett in his early career coming out of TCU with the Chargers, and now seeing that guy again on the field. Starting corners make a lot of money, so he might be up for a payday. He was asked about returning to San Francisco in 2021. And if there's been any conversations about contracts with he and the team.
No, we haven't had any talks about that. Right now we're just focusing on finishing these last four games and trying to get into the playoff. I have a ton of respect for the entire organization for, you know, allowing me to come back, allowing me to be able to and just being alert as much as they are, keeping everybody on the same page and being able to adjust to whatever it is that we have to do. I think it's been good. But it's always tough just with COVID and any other, you know, pandemic that you got to deal with. But just trying to be able to adjust and stick to football is pretty much the main thing everybody's focusing on.
John Lynch said this week that maybe Richard Sherman was jumping the gun when he talked about most likely not being able to come back with the 49ers and them not being able to work out a deal. It might be one or the other for the Niners when it comes to free agents, Jason Verrett and Richard Sherman. I don't think they'll be able to bring them both back. If they can spend the money and find it for Sherman, does that mean Jason Verrett's definitely gone? If they can't get Sherman, does that mean they can spend whatever they need to bring back Jason Verrett? So that'll be an interesting one when it comes to the 49ers secondary next year. And it might be whoever comes cheapest is the one the 49ers hold on to for the short-term future. All right, let's hear from the coaches. Kyle Shanahan took the podium multiple times this week, as he usually does, speaking about Washington. Let's start with his comments on Alex Smith and his respect for not only Alex Smith's comeback, but him as a quarterback.
Oh, my mind. I mean, as much respect as you can have for anyone. I don't know Alex, but I heard about it, which was amazing. I did see the episode everyone saw. For him to go through what he went through and to still want to come back, it's definitely not a money thing. The guy is all right in that area. It's not something he had to do. It shows why he's been successful in everything he's done. Showed why he had a great college career. Showed why he was a top pick in the draft. It showed why he's helped out three different teams now. And for him to come back and just want to come back after going through that, it shows there's a lot of special things inside that guy.
Yeah, Kyle mentioning that salary, that's one of the reasons why he will probably not be back with Washington next year, because they have an opportunity now with his huge contract and him being healthy to get out of that contract. Could that mean a reunion in San Francisco for real? Not just playing against them, but playing for them next year. That could be a possibility. Alex Smith was asked about his future this week, and he said, you know, that's something to think about after the season. They haven't made any decisions on that. So who knows if Alex Smith will even play at all next year, or if he just needed to prove it to himself and he'll be done with that. we'll find out. That'll be a lot of fun. But and with all the admiration of Alex Smith, it's easy to forget he's the enemy this week. So what does Kyle Shanahan see from Alex Smith on the field?
He's a very good quarterback. He always has been. He knows where to go with the ball, which to me is one of the biggest things for any quarterback. You read coverages and stuff, and there's always a spot, there's a hole in it, and you want to get the ball there. But and Alex is efficient at doing that as anybody. And when you pair that with, and why is he helping them so much? I mean, they have such a great defense. When you're playing as one of the top defenses in the league, and then you have a quarterback who knows where to go with the ball, you don't have to do a lot of risky things because of what your defense is doing. And then your quarterback's not going to turn it over. He's going to be very efficient, allows you to stick with the run, and you can play the right type of ball that you never beat yourself. And when you have a top defense like that, I mean, that's a very winning formula just to win games. I mean, your teams have to really come in and beat you. And in the NFL, a lot of teams lose it. A lot of teams lose it. And when you got the defense that they have, when you got someone like Alex, who's very consistent with where he goes, they're usually not going to lose it. You got to come in and beat them. And it's tough to do with some of the talent they have.
All right. Well, there you go. Future 49ers quarterback Alex Smith. It sounds like it really sounds like Kyle Shanahan would like to have some of those Alex Smith traits in his current quarterbacks. And you can tell he's getting very annoyed with the turnover aspect of the 49ers offense, which he gets into when he talks about what he emphasized with Nick Mullins this week heading into the Washington game.
Almost the same stuff I've been emphasizing every week with him. Do what you're supposed to do in terms of what plays called. You read the coverage. You go to the right person. Don't try to make stuff up. Be aggressive, but do it within the play. I thought Nick did a real good job of that last week. He made the right plays. And I know he'd love to have that pick back on third, and I think it was third and goal in the five. He could have done that better. His other pick, it was a good throw. He was just unfortunate with it tipping off Ayuk's knee. But I thought he played very well. And then there's a couple times in the game where the play wasn't there. And he still went off schedule and made a couple off schedule plays to Bourne, which I thought was a great job. And that's the stuff I want to see him do because he's very good at, you know, seeing it the right way, letting it go with no hesitation. But sometimes when you try to get a little riskier in terms of you might be down 10 points or you might feel like we need to make a play. I mean, I love when he does, but I don't want him to force that stuff because turnovers are really what have cost us here when we've lost games. And I want him to be better with the ball in that way. And I think he was last week, minus the third and goal in the five.
He didn't answer those questions back to back either. But when you put him back to back like that and you hear him talk about what he loves about Alex Smith and then what he wants Mullins to fix in his game, it's pretty amazing, right? Maybe there is something to the potential of Alex Smith being a stopgap quarterback for the 49ers next year. And with how good Smith has been in his career with mentoring other young quarterbacks, specifically Kansas City, seeing what... And look, when you have a guy who has been called Captain Checkdown in his career, and it wasn't a nickname that people threw at him as a compliment, but if you have this wild, young, super talented quarterback coming out of college like Kansas City had with Patrick Mahomes, and I think a lot of analysts, and when I watched Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech, I was like, wow, I've never really seen like a player play like that. And coming out of that style of offense, which now we've seen more players perform in the NFL coming from that air raid offense that he was playing in college, but it was like a lot of people were like, I don't know what to do with this guy, and you know, and he's just like it's like rescuing a wild cat. And Alex Smith is the type of guy where it's like, okay, you take the cat and you just pet him until you sort of round off those rough edges, maybe clip the nails, feed it some milk, show it some love, and all of a sudden now you've got this awesomely talented quarterback. You teach them the Alex Smithy stuff and how to get out of plays and where to check the ball down and how to manage a game. Now you have the best of both worlds. So I can really buy the argument of Alex Smith being a potential fit for the 49ers if they decide they need to save a lot of money at the quarterback position and move off of Jimmy Garoppolo and still get some production from a veteran quarterback while they develop a young, talented passer behind him. It makes sense. It starts to make more and more sense when you hear Kyle Shanahan talk about Alex Smith and then his own current quarterback. Obviously, he's not talking about Jimmy Garoppolo there. He's talking about Nick Mullins, his backup. But still, it allows you to connect the dots a little bit. I'll just say that. And I don't know if it's very likely at all, but it's just a potential avenue for the 49ers in 2021. We'll talk about plenty of that. Next, let's hear from, we got one more from Kyle Shanahan about the run game specifically, and then Robert Saleh talking about Alex Smith and that style of quarterback and what the defense is going to face Sunday with Washington's offense. And of course, the Week 14 keys to victory. The run game statistics for the 49ers the last couple of weeks, specifically since Raheem Mostert has come back, the numbers haven't been great, but I think if you watch, and I love what Kyle Shanahan says here about, if you watch the game, you understand that there's like something happening with the run game. Like, it's not the problem at all. Game script has been some of the problem, and I expect the run game to be fine, and I think that they've been run blocking okay recently, and maybe some running back usage stuff could change with people getting more healthy going forward, which would help that out. But here's Shanahan on the run game, the perception versus the reality right now, and especially looking back to last week in that Buffalo game.
I thought our run game versus Buffalo was one of the best it's been since we've been here. I mean, that's why you got to look at it and you got to watch it. You know, it's, you take away those goal line runs that we had, all runs inside the 3 yard line. And then we had a negative, I think 9 yard run. When we down blocked and we tossed it to Tevin, when the DN got up the field, that left us with 13 carries for 7 yards carry or 6.8. You know, our analytics guys give us all the stuff. They told me it was our most efficient analytics running game since we've been here. So that was one of the more frustrating things. I thought we blocked as well as we've done, and I thought we were running the ball very well. They controlled the ball very good, and we didn't convert a couple third downs. And I mean, that's why I think 14 of our runs were, you know, I think in the first 20 something plays of the game. So I was very happy with our run. It's, hope we block the same way we did then, and I hope the game works out to where we can get more called.
I talked a lot about game script last week before Buffalo and how the 49ers couldn't get behind the sticks, and it couldn't be a situation where they were forced to make Nick Mullins throw them out of trouble and they had to abandon the run game. It pretty much happened last week, and I think it's a similar story this week. Keep the game close. The defense has to help out the offense, and the offense has to help out the defense. That's the combination for winning football right now for the way the 49ers are built and what they have to utilize on offense. And it's one of the keys to victory that we will get to. I want to hear from defensive coordinator Robert Saleh, though, talking about his performance and the message to his team following that loss to the Bills on Monday night.
Well, obviously, we all feel that we're a heck of a lot better than what we showed on Monday night. But when you play an offense as good as Buffalo's and you're not on your A game, something like that can happen. And we made some uncharacteristic mistakes in coverage that just led to explosive plays that didn't need to happen. We had some opportunities, one of those Murphy's Law type games where anything that could go wrong would go wrong. We get an interception from Fred that gets called back from an illegal contact. Fourth and two, felt like we had a stop, but you know, on a potential penalty, but don't get the call. Just a lot of little things that just happen. And to their credit, they do a phenomenal job executing and straining you and making sure that you're on your A game at all times during the game. And so, The big thing was is just to show the guys that Monday night does not define the what the group has accomplished, both offensively, defensively, and special teams for that matter. So we've got a lot of confidence. We're we got Washington coming in, and it's, we got to pick up and get going again. So we're still in this thing.
Well, if the 49ers want to stay in this thing, they definitely have to beat Washington. What does he see with that Washington offense, and can they get right against quarterback Alex Smith?
You know, you look at their overall numbers, and it could fool you. And I know I'm not. You guys can look it up yourselves. But when Alex Smith took over as quarterback, since the day he took over, I think it was 4 or 5 games ago, they're one of the top 10 offenses in all of football, yards, points, just overall production. They are playing at a very, very, very high level. It's gonna be a challenge. I mean, it's a good offense. It's an underrated offense for sure. What he does, he will take checkdowns. Obviously, he's going to get the ball out of his hand. He'll take what the defense gives you. But I promise you, like, when you watch his tape and you watch him over these last 5 games, if you're careless in the back end, he will go over the top. And he still throws great intermediate routes, digs, 15, 20-yard digs, and he'll throw posts. He'll throw go balls. So But when you have a quarterback who's not careless with the football, especially with the defense that they have, you're finding a team that is starting to realize that, well, shoot, we can stick around, play good team football, and at the end of the game, we're going to make the plays to win. And so, and that's what they're doing right now. And it's it starts with taking care of the football on offense and attacking the football on defense. And so with regards to Alex, he'll take what the defense gives you, but he'll still take his shots and make you pay if you start getting careless and aggressive.
It's funny because sometimes fans get bored with the style of football that Alex Smith plays, but coaches are like, love it. Like, they fall all over themselves like, please give me a quarterback that'll check the ball down and not make mistakes and just execute the play and that's it. Coaches really, I think, and Kyle Shanahan's a younger coach, but he's not like that young, let's just wing it coach. I think he's somewhat old school in that manner, and obviously defensive coaches are that way too, somewhat conservative and like, let's just run the ball, play good defense and not make mistakes, throwing the ball and then get out of there with a 3-point win. They're okay with that every game of the year. One more before we get to the keys to victory, and the keys to victory, one of them is absolutely stopping the Washington defensive line. It is the strength of that football team. And Sala was asked why the defensive line is so important and his philosophy of building a defense around the D-line, as Washington has, as San Francisco has.
Everyone's philosophies are different. There's some philosophies that will that rely on the back end and they'll manufacture pressure. And then there's the philosophy which we have in terms of we're going to disrupt with four and we're going to play good sound coverage. And when it's just my opinion, when you have a quarterback, everyone knows that the quarterback is the most important, valuable position on a football field, period. Making the game easy for him so he can be as efficient as possible, so he can put you in winning positions, that's the quarterback's job. And that's why they're so important. That's why they get paid the most money. The one position that can disrupt the quarterback without having to do, without having to make stuff up, is a defensive lineman. You get two rushers; those guys can disrupt the way the quarterback plays and can ruin all of his timing, can ruin everything, without exposing people in the back end. So if you can play with seven guys in the back end while four guys are just disrupting his life, that is the best way to disrupt the best player on the football team or the most important player on the football team. And so it's just our philosophy in terms, because even great quarterbacks, if you try to play great man coverage and manufacture pass rush, those quarterbacks, the great ones, are just, they'll dime you. I mean, they can throw it in tight windows. They see man coverage, they'll eat you alive. But when you've got a four-man rush that doesn't allow routes to develop, where routes, it takes a second hitch for a route to come open, and you've got a D lineman who can win a one-on-one. That's why you look at all the great defenses in this league have people up front who can absolutely just bother the quarterback. You got the Rams, who are doing a phenomenal job. Their scheme is very, very sound. And then you've got Leonard Floyd and Aaron Donald just wreaking havoc in there. And last year with our D line, back in the Seattle days, you had Cliff Averill, Michael Bennett, Chris Clemens, Bruce Irvin. You've Arizona, when they were rolling, had Chandler Jones rolling. So just go through every great defense in football. Chicago Bears, when Vic Fangio had Hicks and Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd. It's the front drive is the best way to disrupt the quarterback without having to get too careless or too aggressive. And so you sit back and you let you play a good sound coverage, and those guys on the back end, when they know how to play sound coverage and they take away throwing lanes and they position themselves where they're supposed to, and you allow that front to get after the quarterback, if he has to hitch more than once, it just makes people pay. And so that blueprint, it's a lot easier said than done to create that blueprint, because there's so much draft capital and so much money that has to go into it, but still there's nothing better for a defensive front than our defense, and having a front like Washington has with all those first rounders.
Sala loved getting that question. He went into some detail. He loves him some defensive linemen and some big men up front that are physical, that can also get after the quarterback. And you can tell he likes the way the Washington defense was built. That's the way the 49ers built their defense. And whenever Robert Saleh gets a head coaching job, you can bet a ton of resources are going to be put into the defensive line on whatever team that is. Okay, Let's get to the keys to victory here for the 49ers to beat Washington Sunday. And key to victory number four, I'm going to start with Robert Saleh's defense. And they've got to bounce back. He talked about some of the bad luck and some of the situations they were in last week against Buffalo. They can't play like that again. There can't be wide receivers running free against that Niners defense this week. So a bounce back game for the 49ers defensive backs, specifically in coverage. And I think there's going to be a lot on the linebackers in coverage against this Washington offense. The short stuff. Tight end Logan Thomas, rally to the ball when J.D. McKissic gets his 10 receptions out of the backfield after Alex Smith does check it down if they do have their initial receivers outside covered. So Alex Smith's going to go wherever the defense tells him to in the first few seconds of the play. He's going to try to get out of his hands quickly. A lot of short stuff. Tackle when you get that and don't have any lapses in coverage and allow guys running free as they did last week. It definitely wasn't the Niners' best game in coverage, even though it was a tough ask in some of those plays. Josh Allen is just pretty good and was, you know, giving himself some extra time and is really hard to cover for a long period of time. The Niners, I don't think, are going to have to deal with that with Alex Smith. So it should be an easier task this week than it was against Buffalo on Monday Night Football. Key to victory number three for the 49ers to beat Washington, and Kyle talked about it. Kyle's over it, and so am I. Turnovers. You got to win the turnover battle. You cannot expect the game to go like it did against the Rams, where you turn it over a couple times, but the other team turns it over three times. You can't do that. You can't expect that to happen. You can't expect that to be the game script. We saw it against Buffalo. If you start turning the ball over, it's going to be really tough for the 49ers to overcome that. So turnovers is a huge key. It's a huge key every week, but the way things are going right now with the 49ers, and you can really tell Kyle Shanahan is starting to get pretty annoyed about the interceptions specifically. Turnovers is a huge key to this game. You got to win the turnover battle if you want to win football games in the NFL, and this could be a really tight game, and that one big play could be the difference. Key number two for the 49ers to beat Washington in week 14 is, we mentioned defensive line, how important that is. That is the strength of that Washington team. They're playing at such a high level. They've got five first-round guys there. The good news for the 49ers is unless they start moving Chase Young around a little bit more, he has been playing mostly right defensive end, so that'll be a marquee matchup and super fun to watch with Chase Young, the rookie, going against the veteran in Trent Williams, who's playing just about as good as anybody at left tackle in the league right now. So that'll be a fun matchup to watch, but I wonder if Washington might start moving people around and try to get Chase Young on Mike McGlinchey. But Mike McGlinchey is going to have his hands full no matter what, because on the other side, there's 2019 first rounder Montez Sweat. There is 2011. Man, it's been a decade almost since Kerrigan came into the league. Ryan Kerrigan, number 91, will work in there with Montez Sweat, mostly on the left side with Chase Young on the right side and two monsters on the inside. 2017 first rounder Jonathan Allen out of Alabama. 2018 first rounder Daron Payne, number 94. Both those guys are a handful inside. So, I mean, they can create pressure with four guys. They can stop the run with four guys inside there and take on blocks. So it's going to be a huge task for the 49ers offensive line in this one. And it'll really help if Trent Williams can handle Chase Young one-on-one and allow the 49ers to maybe double team one of those interior guys, or maybe, and then chip whoever's on the other side with Mike McGlinchey there. That will really help and give Nick Mullins a little bit more time. So 49ers offensive line versus Washington defensive line. I expect Washington's D-line to win that battle somewhat, but you just can't get dominated up front if you're the 49ers. And key to victory number one for the 49ers to beat Washington Sunday, and that is get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. We don't need Nick Mullins to drop back and make a bunch of plays and do Josh Allen type stuff and run around and throw bombs to all levels of the field. Just get the ball out of his hands and into the hands of your playmakers. I want at least 30 touches combined for Raheem Mostert, Deebo Samuel, and Brandon Ayuk, and hopefully 40, right? Mostert left the lineup way too early, and maybe he's still dealing with a little bit of his injury, so they don't want to put too much on him, which would make some sense, but I would like to see Mostert in there and get 12 touches before they even start to bring in his backup, you know, as long as he's healthy enough to do that. And I like the way that Jeff Wilson runs, so I don't have a problem with him working in, but I want to see the explosive ability for Raheem Mostert. That's where the big plays come in the running game when he's handling the rock. And Deebo Samuel, there was no reason that he shouldn't have been making any catches until, what, late third quarter last week. Brandon Ayuk had five receptions. I mean, hand it off to these guys, throw it to them short, let Ayuk handle those return duties. You know there's going to be a ton of quick stuff. Get the ball out of Mullen's hands. Get away from that pass rush and get the ball into the hands of your playmakers. Let them do the rest. The Yak Bros. If the Yak Bros yak, the 49ers attack, I guess. They're going to win the game. We'll put it that way. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back Monday breaking everything down right here. Locked On 49ers.